In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here at Our Lady of Grace, we have been slowly walking through the Mass. And today I get to one of the oldest parts of the Mass, what's called the fraction rite within the communion rites. And this is one of the oldest parts of the Mass because at one point the Mass was actually just known as the breaking of the bread. And it gets that name precisely from this particular rite, when the host is broken. The bread, the heavenly bread, is broken. So it's an important part of the Mass, rich in symbolism. So oftentimes what will happen is we will begin the Lamb of God, the Agnus Dei, and the faithful can perhaps think that that's the point. Well, that's the point of the rite. We're just saying this in order to get ready to receive Holy Communion. But actually, the Lamb of God is your response to what is happening here, to the fraction rite, that as the priest begins to break the large host, the faithful are so moved by what is happening, they begin to spontaneously, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That is your response. You are crying out to God as you see what is happening here at the altar. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Two petitions for mercy, a third for peace. What about this Lamb of God? Why would the faithful cry out, Lamb of God? It goes right to the scriptures. Remember John when he is taken into paradise and he sees heaven, he sees the Lamb. We are told he is slain, but still standing. The sacrifice is still being offered. The Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, continues to offer the sacrifice. That's why we can have Mass here on earth. If the sacrifice were to stop in heaven, we could not have Mass here. Because when we participate in Mass here, it's a participation in what's happening in heaven. And that sacrifice continues. John saw the Lamb. Remember, the Lamb is highly symbolic. The Lamb was the animal of ransom during the Passover. The Passover of the Old Testament was the dress rehearsal for the ultimate and definitive Passover, when God himself would become the Lamb and lead his people out of slavery through the desert into the promised land of heaven. The whole of the Old Testament was getting us ready. And so here we see Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who still is slain but is standing. That sacrifice is being offered. As the host is being broken, the faithful will cry out, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, have mercy on us. And it's only when we receive his mercy that we can then seek his peace. Lamb of God, grant us peace. Now, as you are saying this, remember, you are responding to what's happening here. The priest is taking a large host and he breaks it. That's called the infraction, the breaking of the bread. And why does he break the host? He breaks the large host. He takes one small piece and it's placed within the precious blood. One of the most powerful, significant acts of the entire Mass. Because it's there that the crucified body and blood of Christ is reunited and symbolizes the resurrection. It's by the resurrection that we know that the risen Christ is still with us. So the body is once again reunited with the blood. Listen to the prayer that the priest prays privately as this action is happening. He prays, may this mingling of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ bring eternal life to us who receive it. There's a cross, the placement of the host into the precious blood as that priest prays the prayer. The priest is offering this prayer on behalf of the people of God. And then you again are responding, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's important that we understand the power of what we're doing. Scott Hahn, the popular convert to Catholicism, recounts that the first time he attended a Catholic Mass and he saw the infraction rite, he said he was completely blown off his feet. He said he could not hold back the tears because knowing the book of Revelation as a biblical scholar, he looked at the Mass at what was happening. He said, this is Revelation lived out. This is Revelation being lived out because he could see biblically all of the fulfillment of the scriptural biblical teachings. And so oftentimes as Catholics, we grow up with this and we just take it for granted. In fact, sometimes we're not even aware of what's happening at the altar, right? And some are still upset that we're still saying it in Latin. They're worried about why are we doing it in Latin? And they're completely missing the entire point, right, of what's happening here during this part of the Mass. Incidentally, the reason why we say it in Latin here at Our Lady of Grace, the Church recommends it. Right? But secondly, by saying that in Latin, Agnus Dei, we are able to participate with the prayers of our forefathers and foremothers who for over 1,600 years prayed that way in our rite of the Roman Catholic Church. So we ask God, have mercy on us. We understand what's happening here as the host is being broken, as the book of Revelation, the sacrifice of the Lamb is being played out as we ask for the removal of our sins and for the gift of peace. Remember in Acts of the Apostles, in the book of, and the account of Emmaus, right? The disciples knew Christ. They recognized his presence, that the risen Christ was with them in the breaking of the bread. During the infraction rite, when the bread is broken, the faithful once again realize the risen Christ is here. Right? He is truly with us. And our hearts are moved again. Forgive us. Take away our sins. Grant us your peace. Now, the infraction rite also has other acts that represent important parts of our faith. As the one part is placed within the sacred, the precious blood, the body once again reunited with the blood. Also, that separation reminds us that we are all united to Christ, that those of us who receive Holy Communion are a part of that little piece of host that was dropped in the precious blood, that as Christ himself is brought together, body and blood, so we who worship him, who have been baptized, who adore him, who receive him, are also made one with him. Incidentally, in the early church, when the Pope would offer Mass, he would have the infraction rite, he would take one of the parts of the large host, and an acolyte would run it to the local community. Every community received a different host on a different Sunday. It's the way that the Pope showed that he was united to them. Some of you might be familiar with the heroic story of the martyr St. Tarsicius, who is, by the way, the patron saint of First Holy Communicants. He was an acolyte who was given that part of the host by the Pope in order to take it to one of the communities. When the Roman guards saw this young boy carrying what they thought was money or wealth, because he guarded it so attentively, they asked him to see it. He would not allow the Blessed Sacrament to be sacrileged. And so they beat him to death because they thought it was wealth. And when they realized from their perspective it was only a piece of bread, they couldn't understand what was wrong with this child. But Tarsicius, as that acolyte, understood what he was carrying. And that comes from the fraction rite, that the Pope would celebrate the fraction rite and then give a piece to the acolyte. Now take it to one of my communities, right? So again, a symbol of our unity with Christ, but also with one another. We are all united in Jesus Christ. Now, of course, after the fraction rite is done, then I turn and show you. And I think it's powerful. This is why Ad Orientem is so powerful. This is how the Mass, I would argue, is intended to be celebrated, right? Only over the last 60 years, in the 2,000-year history of our church, has Mass ever been offered facing the people. In the over 24 rites of the Roman Catholic Church, none of them does the priest dare to face the people. How can you have your back turned to God, right? So I think that Ad Orientem is the norm. And I think in the course of the church history, we will return to that, right? But I turn after the fraction rite and I show you, and there's nothing between us, right? I show you the host. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are they who are called to the banquet of the Lamb, to the supper of the Lamb, right? Listen to what's being said. First of all, there's nothing distinguishing us. One member of the parish shared with me some time ago, Father, I wasn't sure about the whole Ad Orientem thing. But she said, when you turn and you hold that host, she goes, I feel like Jesus is right in front of me. Because you see it. Behold the Lamb of God. We take, the church, Mother Church takes the words of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. And listen to the wisdom of the church. Blessed are they who are called. We do not choose. We are not entitled. We have no right to receiving Holy Communion. We are called. And not simply here. Remember, this is just the appetizer, right? We say in theology, the foretaste. Those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. This gives us strength to live the Christian way of life, to receive God's grace so that one day we will be called to the supper of the Lamb. And then listen to what you say. May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your, excuse me, say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are they who are called to the supper of the Lamb. And you respond, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Because at that point, the faithful realize we are about to receive the body and blood of the eternal, ever-living Son of God. And we take upon ourselves the prayer of the centurion who went to our Lord and asked for a healing. Now, as a quick aside, we were praying this prayer long before anyone wrote it down. In fact, that account was probably retained and eventually written in the Gospels because it was held by old tradition in the Eucharist, in the breaking of the bread. And we take upon ourselves that prayer of that centurion. Lord, just say the word. You have all the power. Just take, say the word, and my soul will be healed. Because I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Come to me. Remember the story of the centurion. He went and he sought the Lord out. His servant was back home. And he asked for a healing. He said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. The Lord said, I'll come to your house. Lord, I'm not worthy of that. But you have authority. I'm a man in authority. You're a man in authority. You say the word, I know it will be done. And the Lord was like, wow, I have now found faith like this in all of Israel. He said, your servant is healed. The servant who never saw Christ received his healing. Right? We never see Christ with the visible eye, but we receive his healing, right? As we ask for that grace, as we ask him to heal us. Not to tell you one story that I was very moved by some time ago. I heard at a conference when I was a student in Rome, a person was recounting the story where he was in Nagasaki, and he was offering Mass. Of course, at that time, Mass normatively would have been facing the tabernacle. And he's offering the Mass, and he hears just total, utter chaos, like destruction he had never imagined before. Right? Later, he realized that what had happened behind him was the dropping of the nuclear bomb. Right? He was there at Marytown, founded by St. Maximilian Kolbe, and he was celebrating the Mass. And he continued with the Mass, right? And he got to the part with the Agnus Dei. And after the Agnus Dei, he turned in order to hold the host. And he said he turned around, and the entire world was gone. It was gone. There was nothing. It was just a wasteland. There was nothing. The nuclear bomb had dropped. It had destroyed everything. And the priest turned around, and he said he was just completely shocked. And the only thing he could say with the words of Mother Church, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. You see, dear friends, in the midst of the brokenness and the hurt and the harm of our world, grace is offered. Salvation is offered to each of us. The work of God can still happen even in the midst of brokenness. But we have to be willing to let it work. We have to be willing to receive Holy Communion with the true contrition and heartfelt devotion, faith, and love that our Lord merits. So this is the infraction rite, the fraction rite. Now once we get through the fraction rite, okay? Once we get through this, we get to receive Holy Communion. What does that look like? What should it look like? We're going to talk about that tomorrow. And we're going to talk about this interesting battle between our bishops over who should or should not be invited to Holy Communion. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, and get this. I'm not going to engage in the battle between our bishops, but my pay grade. I'm just going to draw from the scriptures and the early fathers of the church. Remember we had St. Justin earlier this week? I think it was yesterday, wasn't it? Yeah. I'm going to quote from Justin, who gave us one of the earliest accounts of the Mass, and he describes who should receive Holy Communion and who should not. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. But today, as we celebrate this Eucharist, I'm going to ask you, be attentive to the fraction rite. Understand when you say Agnus Dei, what you are responding to, what is happening here, and be aware of the person that we are about to receive.